From time to time, we've been looking together at the survey of the Scriptures and trying to gain a panoramic view of all the Bible. And I hope that you have been following through with this and have been checking it out in your own Bibles, because that is perfectly scriptural procedure to check out what the speaker says in the Scriptures themselves. They did that to the Apostle Paul in Berea, and he commended them for it, and it's the right thing to do. And as you remember, the whole purpose of Revelation, the aim of all the Bible, the focal point of all this tremendous book, is aimed squarely at you. As Paul puts it, in order that you may grow up in Christ, may mature in Christ. God is not interested in forming chapters of the PWA, the Pew Warmers Association, where people simply sit and soak and sour. He's interested in people growing in Christ, never staying the same place, moving on. I'm afraid in too many places the theme song of Christianity is, come weal or woe, our status is quo. And this is what the Word of God is anxious to avoid. And so it's aimed at us to keep us walking in the Spirit. And a walk, you know, is not a sitting, is not a sit-in. It's a moving with God. Now, we've already seen that the purpose of the Old Testament is to prepare us for truth. The purpose of the New Testament is to realize that truth. And in the New Testament, the Gospels and the Acts present to us Jesus Christ. Here you have the presentation of Jesus Christ. And after that begins the letters of Paul, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and so on, through 14 letters of Paul in the New Testament, and then letters following that of James and Peter and John and Jude. Now, these letters are the explanation of Jesus Christ, as the book of Revelation is the consummation, that is, the end of it all, and sets forth for us where Christ is heading. But we desperately need the epistles, because here we find all the fine points that puzzle us about Christian faith explained for us. Now, the last time we looked together at this, we took the first group of epistles, Romans through Galatians. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and Galatians. And these four letters set forth Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the lost secret of humanity, which is God indwelling man. Man as the vehicle of the divine life. Man's body and soul and spirit as the instrument by which God expresses himself. The way by which the invisible God becomes visible unto men. That's Christ in you. And that's the lost secret of humanity and the secret of successful living. Living on any other basis is a total failure. And will prove to be so by experience if you attempt it. Only on this basis, which is what we were made for and designed for, do we find fulfillment. Therefore, these letters are vital and foundational in our Christian experience. Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians, where they set forth Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, the next group covers from Ephesians through Philemon. And these set forth you in Christ. Remember the Lord Jesus used that little formula. He said, I in you and you in me. And when we talk about him in us, we're talking about the indwelling life, the walk in the Spirit. When we talk about us in him, we're speaking of the relationship of the body of Christ. The fact that we are members of his body. Our life is lost in the totality of life in the body of Christ. That's you in Christ. Christ is the church and the head together. And you'll find in 1 Corinthians that it speaks of the body in that way. The church is Christ, for it's His body, as well as the head. And we discover soon that we are not individually Christians. We are corporately Christians as well. We belong to each other as well as to Christ. And as I frequently said, we never can come to fulfillment and full development in our Christian lives by ourselves. There are times when Christians have to be isolated from others for various reasons, for work or circumstances, or they're in the Navy or the Army or something, and they're cut off from fellowship with other Christians. And if that condition continued for a long period of time, it would doubtless result in great weakening. For we need one another. We need one another. We can never be complete in Christ without sharing ourselves with each other. And this is what these epistles take up. This is corporate life. Now these letters comprise Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. And we're going to briefly speak of these tonight. They're sort of like a doctor's library. Doctor's libraries aren't very interesting. They're full of heavy tomes that have the most frightening names on them. And the only thing interesting about them are the pictures. They have wonderfully interesting pictures of all kinds of gizmos and gadgets that go on within the human body, usually in color. But other than that, they're not very interesting to a layman. But in a doctor's library, you'll find a book entitled Physiology. And that means the entire science of the makeup of the body, the study of the makeup of the body, the human body. And Ephesians answers to that in the New Testament. It's the study of the nature of the body of Christ. And then you might find a book on pathology in a doctor's library. That means the treatment of diseases of the body. The study of how to cure the afflictions of the body. And this is the answer, the book that answers to that in the New Testament is Philippians. The problems of the body. And then you have in a doctor's library books on biology. That means the makeup of life itself. What makes the body operate as it does? What is the makeup of the structure of the cells, the very life-bearing organisms of the body? And this is what you have in the book of Colossians. So that here you have a study in detail, wonderfully inspired, of the body of Christ. Now let's quickly take these. In Ephesians, you have the nature of the body. Someone has said that there are only two things essential to living. One is light on the mystery of life, and the other is life in order that we may master life, on the mastery of life. Light and life. And these are the themes of the book of Ephesians. Where you have the body of Christ set forth. The key to this little book is found in the second chapter, verse 19 and 20. So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. That's the life of the body. And it's made up by the foundation and the membership in the unity of the Holy Spirit. And all of the letter gathers around that theme. Then when you come to the letter to the Philippians, you find that here Paul, in a very practical way, is taking up the diseases that threaten the body of Christ, the problems that arise. And as you run through the list in this letter, you can see that they're very apt and they're very much experienced. There is, first of all, discouraging circumstances. Have you ever found your spiritual life threatened by discouraging circumstances? Well, then read the letter to the Philippians for the answer. And then next, there's the problem of divisive personalities. As I've often quoted, you know, that little jingle, to live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory, but to dwell below with saints we know, well, that's another story. And unfortunately, it's too frequently true. There are divisive personalities. In Philippi, among others, there were two ladies who were at odds with each other. We know their names, Euodia and Syntyche. And I never read those names without thinking of the dear colored preacher reading through there who couldn't quite pronounce them. And he read it this way, I beseech Odious and soon touchy that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And when you've got Odious and soon touchy together in a church, you've got problems. And this was the case in Philippi. And then there is the problem of deceitful teachers. Men who were going about deliberately teaching untruth. And doing it in the name of Christ. That's the problem. And I think there is no problem more threatening today to the Church of Jesus Christ than this problem. Teachers in the church, in the name of Christ, teaching error. And then there's the threat of destructive ambitions. And again, what a toll this takes. Paul speaks, you know, of these of this problem of wanting to be something himself and learning at last that whatsoever things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Destructive ambitions, seeking to exalt oneself again in the name of Christ. And then last, distressing pressures, so that they were wondering if they were not going to have enough to eat the next day. Some of these pressures. And all through all of this, the constant theme of this letter is that Jesus Christ is adequate. Ye have the mind of Christ. That's the key to the letter. Then in Colossians, we come to the setting forth of the power of the body of Christ. What motivates, what forces ties all Christians together? What is the answer to our continual search for overall control of the body? We're always struggling with this, aren't we? Here we are, a local church. We're under God trying to contribute a ministry to the total body of Christ's ministry in the world. But sometimes we get worried about what the other people are doing. And we wonder who's trying to keep them straight. We're doing all right, of course. We're right on the track. But what about the others? Who is regulating that part of the body way over there? Or over here? And we get a wonderful answer in Colossians, where we learn of that this is not a headless body. This is not an Ichabod Crane. And the headless horseman, you remember your school day story. No, this is a body with a head. And that head is the life of the body. And as we read the head and see the head, we learn that in his sovereign, totalitarian direction of the body, he is keeping all of it united and correlated so that it's working together to accomplish his end. The key to this is Colossians 3:3. For you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. There's the answer to all the problems of control. Then in 1 Thessalonians, or in the Thessalonian letters, we have the hope of the body. This is a look on to the future. In the first letter, you have essentially the certainty of Christ's coming set forth. For these people were troubled. They were wondering whether some of them were not going to miss the coming of Christ because some of their loved ones had died and they didn't know what had happened to them. And this is the purpose of Paul's writing, is to show them that Christ is coming and that when he comes, all the church will be together. None will be missing. And that this coming is a bright and glowing hope in every Christian's heart, purifying him, leading him to walk softly and cautiously before Christ. And the second letter is largely centered around the time of his coming, not in a ultimate sense, not in a date-setting sense, but in a relative sense, with relationship to events in the world, how this coming of Christ relates to that. And all of it then, you see, is a look forward to the future and to the hope of Christ's coming. The key to these two letters found in chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And then in Titus, the letter of Titus, Paul's letter to this, or Timothy rather first, Paul's letter to his young men who accompanied with him, we have the ministry of the body. Referring to the doctor's library again, this is a study on neurology, the science of nerves, the study of the nerves. For in the body of Christ, you find certain men who have been specially called of Christ to act as stimulators, like nerves do in the body, to carry the message. That's exactly what the gifted men that Paul refers to in Ephesians 4 serve. They are the stimulators. Christ has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, he says, unto the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry. And here's one of them, Timothy here, with special instructions to this young man on how to stimulate the body, how to mobilize its resources, how to instruct its leaders, how to correct and reprove and rebuke where need be, and how to get the body to work. And the first letter is a general teaching that covers most of this, of the problems that a young pastor would face, while the second letter is a specialized instruction in view of apostasy and decline. What do you do in a church that's beginning to lose its life, where vitality is seeping away, and the church is drifting into deadly formalism? What do you do there? Well, this second letter of Timothy answers that question. Now, when you come to the letter of Titus, you find similar ministry. This is the work of the body. And here the emphasis is not so much on the ministry of the nerves of the body, but on the body itself, what the body is supposed to do. And the key to this letter is in the second chapter, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men, training us, that's the end, you see, of the body's ministry, to renounce irreligion and worldly passions and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world. Not out of it, right in it. Awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you come to the little letter of Philemon, one of the shortest letters of the Bible, you have a beautiful emphasis upon the unity of the Bible, of the body. This little book, as you remember, was sent in the hands of a slave who had run away from his master and had found Paul in Rome, and through the ministry of the apostle had been led to Jesus Christ. And though he was a valuable man to Paul, ran his errands and ministered to him in many ways, Paul sent him back to his master because he felt he had an obligation to do so, and further, because his master was a Christian. And to this man, Paul sends this slave, whose name was Onesimus, and writes this letter for the slave to take with him, to urge him to receive him as a brother in Christ. And in the chapter, in verse 16 of the letter, you have what serves as a key, 15 and 16. Perhaps this is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And in this letter, more than any other letter of the New Testament, you see that that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. All distinctions between Christians are done away with in Christ. We are all brothers together. And there is to be no difference in our attitudes toward one another because of any superficial distinctions of background, training, color, education, whatever it may be. All are brethren together. As Jesus said, one is your master, and all ye are brethren. And this then sets before us the unity of the body of Christ. Now that's life in the body. There's so much more we could say that would be perhaps of help to you, but I commend these letters to you for your own study that you might see how to behave yourself in the Church of God, which is the living, the pillar of the truth, and the ground of truth and the Church of the living God. And it's for this purpose these letters were written. Now, beginning in the next section, we'll take up the key word to Christian living, how to make Christ in you and you in Christ a vital factor, and that's the word faith. Shall we bow together in prayer? Our Father, we give thanks to Thee for these truths, these great letters that have come to us. As we open this book, Lord, we see that its very pages are soaked with the blood of men and women who had to die in order for us to have this book. And we pray, therefore, we may treat it carefully and read it reverently and often and frequently in order that we may arrive at the understanding that you have for us in it. Thank you for this and for the warmth and the fellowship and the glory of life in Christ in the body of our Lord Jesus. For we pray in His name. Amen.